Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We're doing the section when it is permissible to speak or to mention some fault of a person, under what circumstances it is permissible. So here Imam Nawawi Rahmatullah has brought some hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which shows and gives proof and evidence that there are certain instances when one person can expose a fault of another person when it's for some benefit, and it's some broader benefit, and that benefit also, the person that is exposing and mentioning the fault should check his niyat and check his heart. Is my niyat good? Is my heart good? Am I doing it for the reasons that are allowed? Am I doing it? Would that correct niyat for the with the reasons or within the reasons that are allowed? So Imam Nawawi rahmatullah has brought a few ahadith to explain this. So we started some yesterday and we'll continue now. And Fatima binti Qais radiallahu ta'ala anha قالت أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلت إن أبا الجهم ومعاوية خطباني فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما معاوية فصعلوك لا مال له وأما أبو الجهم فلا يضع العصا عن عاتقه متفق عليه وفي رواية لمسلم وأما أبو الجهم فضراب للنساء. حضرت فاطمة بنت قيس رضي الله تعالى عنها, she was from the Bani Kinana tribe. So she accepted Islam in the initial stages, in the early days of Islam, she had accepted Islam. And she was first married to Abu Amr ibn Hafs radiallahu anhu, but in the 10th year after Hijrah, he had divorced her. So now she was a widow, and when she was this widow, two people had now proposed to her. One person was by the name of Abu al-Jahm, and the other was Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So she had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask him for his opinion. She was a very intelligent woman, very bright woman, and she had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask him that, what is your opinion? I got two proposals that have come. So here the first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is very poor and has no wealth, and as far as Abu al-Jahm is concerned, he does not remove his stick from his shoulder. Rasulullah said he does not remove his stick from his shoulder. So ulama explained what this means. It could mean one of two things. Either he beats or he uses some type of force against the wives. So Rasulullah was discouraging him from making nikah to Abu al-Jahm. Or the other thing, that does not move his stick from his shoulder. Perhaps some people may have seen in the old days, or they go for Hajj sometimes, a person would put a stick on the shoulder, he'd put one packet in the front and he'd put another packet in the back. In other words, if he's got a long journey to go, then this is the way he'll carry his goods. So he would not remove his stick from his shoulder, means he would travel made long distances. So he'd make a lot of suffer. So this is one of the reasons why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her that don't marry Abu al-Jahm, either that he hits his wives or because he travels out a lot. And as far as Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala is concerned, he is very poor and has no wealth. So yeah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, understanding her situation, understanding her background, he's explaining, not that he's mentioning the faults of these two people to try and undermine them in any way, no, na'udhu billah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning it for a greater good. Here this woman had come up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for mashwara, and now in this mashwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining why he's not suggesting that she gets married to these two people. Anyway, just out of interest, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then had suggested to her that she get married to Usama bin Zaid radiallahu anhu. Now this also shows us the barakat of mashwara. Usama bin Zaid radiallahu anhu, his mother was Ummi Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was of black origin, and he had taken the features of his mother. Usama bin Zaid radiallahu anhu, he had taken the features of his mother. In other words, in terms of looks, he was a very dark looking person. He didn't have very, very good attractive features as such. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now advised this woman that you get married to him. So what she had done, she said, it comes in the riwayat also, that initially she was a bit hesitant, but she took the mashura of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said that Allah Pak had granted us so much of muhabbat after that, that people actually used to envy us, that this couple has got so much of muhabbat. This was the barakat of the mashura of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, don't indirectly mentioned to her why she shouldn't marry these people and marry somebody who didn't make sense to her. Obviously, didn't make sense, in other words, from the outward features and the outward qualities of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu an, but it made a lot of sense to her as far as taking the mashwara of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And after that, Allah Pak had put so much of muhabbat in that nikah. We'll do one more hadith. عن زيد بن أرقم رضي الله عنه قال خرجنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر أصاب الناس فيه شدة فقال عبد الله بن أبي لا تنفقوا على من عند رسول الله حتى ينفضوا وقال لئن رجعنا إلى المدينة ليخرجن الأعز منها الأذل فأتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخبرته بذلك فأرسل إلى عبد الله بن أبي فاجتهد يمينه ما فعل فقالوا كذب زيد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فوقع في نفسي مما قالوه شدة حتى أنزل الله تعالى تصديقي إذا جاءك المنافقون ثم دعاهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليستغفر لهم فلووا رؤوسهم متفق عليه. زيد بن أرقم رضي الله عنه. This incident happened at the occasion of the Banu Mustaliq. It happened in the Banu Mustaliq in the month of Sha'ban, 5th year after Hijrah. So what had happened here, as we go on with the incident, this Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, they went out on a journey with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during which the people experienced considerable hardship. It was a very difficult, a lot of hardship they had experienced, and they had gone out. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, who was the Ra'isul Munafiqeen, the head of the Munafiqeen, he now, what had happened was before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come to Medina, he was primed to be the leader. He was about to be appointed as the leader of the people of Medina Sharif. And now when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come, naturally all that pomp, all that glory, all that leadership suddenly went away because people all turned towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this hurt him. Before Ulama explained that this desire for recognition is such a dangerous thing. Such a dangerous thing. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come, but because he had lost his position now, he was no longer, people were no longer looking up to him. He couldn't accept that, and this affected him. So anyway, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he's telling those people of Medina, the Ansar, that do not spend on those who are with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that they become disunited. In other words, these Muhajirin, the poor people that had come from Makkah, don't spend on them. Don't spend on them, so that they become disunited. He also said, if we return to Medina, the powerful ones will expel those who are weak. So now out, whilst they were out, he's saying all that. He had gathered some, or had some people around him from Medina Sharif. He's giving them this advice. You know what, don't spend on these people. And when we go back now to Medina Sharif, the powerful ones from amongst us will dispel or expel those who are weak. Imagine he's talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his satis like that. We are the powerful ones, we will expel those who are weak. I went to Rasulullah, Hazrat Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu, a young boy at that time. He said, I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and informed him of this. He summoned Abdullah ibn Ubay, but he took a passionate oath that he did not say it. Now imagine this young boy came to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One thing we learn from here is that when you have to, for a greater benefit, you're allowed to say something like this. It's not ghibat. He came to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul? He's telling the people. So now he's saying that I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and informed him. Now when he called this Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he took a passionate oath and he said that he did not say that. In other words, he's making me like a liar. So Zayd bin Arqam radiallahu anhu, he said, now the hypocrites said that Zayd lied to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now they started accusing him of lies. See how this is not something new, where people accuse an innocent person of lies. Here now the Munafiqeen were accusing this young boy that he's speaking lies against such a great personality, our leader, so to speak, our senior person here, and this young boy is speaking lies. So Zayd bin Arqam radiallahu anhu is saying that the accusation hurt me. It hurt me. I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell him exactly what was spoken amongst his people, but the accusations hurt me greatly until Allah Pak revealed the verses confirming my truthfulness. When the hypocrites come to you, till the end of the ayat, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then called them to seek forgiveness for them, but they arrogantly turned away. Surah Munafiqeen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still called them, come and ask for forgiveness. When you make a mistake, be open about it, ask for forgiveness. Yeah, but the style of the Munafiqeen, لَوْوُوا رُؤُوسَهُمْ, And these people turned away, they arrogantly turned away, they went away, they didn't come ask for forgiveness. Some interesting two parts of this ayat is these people said, hypocrites said, referring to the Muslims as poor, that they are poor, and if we don't give them wealth, because we are rich, if we don't give them wealth, then what will happen? They will disperse. See the ayat Allah Pak sent down, وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرُضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. You all are thinking, in other words, the hypocrites are thinking, if they don't give the Muslims wealth, then they will disperse. Allah Pak sent down this ayat, to Allah belongs the treasures of the heavens and the earth. Don't think that you are giving wealth. To the treasures of the heavens and the earth belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. But the hypocrites, this they don't understand. They are thinking that they are doing, actually the treasures of the heavens and the earth belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One other thing that he had told them is that when we go back to Madinah Sharif, the honorable from amongst us, we will now dispel and we will get rid of the disgraced. Those disgraced, lowly people talking about the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Pak sent down this ayat, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. All honor belongs to Allah Pak. All honor belongs to Allah Pak. You are thinking that you are honorable and you are going to get rid of those people that are disgraced. But remember something, that all honor belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His messenger and the believers. But the hypocrites, they don't know this. So this is something also for us to remember, that if we really want true honor lies with Allah Pak. We want true wealth lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather we turn to Him than turning to people. Because today a person may be here, he may be praising us, he may be helping us. Tomorrow we don't know, a person can just turn like that. Overnight he can turn, or he may not be around. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with a person through every phase of his life. And even after he passes away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there for him. Allah Pak will be there for him in the akhirat. So rather we turn our attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.